Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the second half of the Weekend Wrap, Surveying the Squared Circle. Hopefully the professor will be back on pretty soon. I'm also going to get Mr. Ernie Haynes in here, and as I said before, hopefully we can get Ms. Christy Martin in also. She will be driving down from the Hall of Fame. She'll be driving back down for a fight. I believe it's this week. DeBron did bring up some interesting facts there about Triple G. I mean, you know, we all know, you know, I mean, I didn't know who Steve Rowe was, I will admit. I had to go back and look at his record and see who he was and whatnot. But, you know, for his first fight back, I mean, you know, and with the new trainer, in today's fight theater, you can't really be surprised when some of these champions. Besides that, they really don't want a big test. And, you know, I would imagine coming back from Abel Sanchez, that right now, he needs something I don't want to say soft, but, you know, something that that's manageable. And I really appreciated that. Where is my guest? Where is Ernie? Okay. Looks like Annie may have forgotten about us, because usually we would have called in by now. So, there he is. This might be him now. Let's see. Hello, Ms. James.
Hey, how you doing? We're trying to call each other.
Oh, man, look, hey, great minds think alike. What can I say? was mentioning the last time that we talked that you were down in Indiana for sparring.
Yes, we did some sparring in Indiana at the Hammond Boxing Club at the Thomas McDermott. Mayor Tommy McDermott, his gymnasium in Hammond, Indiana, this Saturday. And we got some extra work in. We took Kiwan Hill, and we took Akeem Black so they can get ready for Vegas.
Okay. All right. Are you – I know Fred isn't making the trip, but is he still down there getting ready also?
Yes. Fred Bowen also was there with us as well. He may get on the card. We're not sure yet.
Okay.
But
okay.
It would be nice if he could fight on the card, but he could definitely be on our next event. Coming right up shortly after that.
So, you also picked out all of the fighters for the tournament Pacquiao undercard?
Can you repeat that? Someone's alarm just went off.
I said, have you also got the contract for the
Pacquiao
tournament undercard?
We hadn't received that contract yet. They still making matches for that fight. So I'm pretty sure we'll receive something pretty much at last minute. But you know, with team certified, it don't matter. We'll be ready. We stay ready, so we don't have to get ready.
Now I'm kind of perplexed here because we have a fighter, Keon, as you mentioned, and as you said, we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. But it seems
mm-hmm.
like nobody wants to get ready for him. What's the deal? Have we found an opponent for Keon yet, or what?
Well, it's starting to get around that, you know, that we pretty much know what we're doing, you know, contrary to the rumors. So it's getting around that we know what we're doing. So, and this is not, we're not a team that's just going to come and just, you know, as soon as you graze us, we fall out. You know, if you knock us down, we're going to get up. We're going to get up and we're going to pass some licks. You know, if you're training and your chin is suspect, you know what? We're going to test it.
I have to agree with you there because, you know, I got your name on the front of my jersey. So, you know, I
yes.
come down. I'm down.
And you know what makes us, you know what's going to make us, what makes us pretty much dangerous and, you know, competitive in this sport? Because we're not concerned with the winning or losing. We're concerned with the performance. We're performing for the fans and giving the fans their money worth. That's our goal. If we get the win, oh, that's awesome. But if we just so happen to take a loss, you know, it's going to be one heck of a loss because we're going to war. And each fight that we've been in, we've taken our guys to war. And we don't lose all that much. We might lose a fight here and there, but other than that, no. We usually win them. Because if you look at our records, we do not have losing records.
This is true. This is true. So, yeah, definitely have to agree with that. But we got the professor here, and we had talked a little bit earlier about the performance of Triple G in his fight. And I know, like you said, you are away sparring, so I know you didn't get a chance to watch a lot of this weekend's action. But we have someone it's right here, and you can tell us not only the action that we missed, but what we got coming up. And I'm talking about the professor. So, Jabron, let's kind of take where we left off when we were talking about Triple G's performance, Jonathan Banks, so forth and so on. Getting back to Triple G, as I said, I don't really see a big step up in class. Is that a reflection on his new team, or do you think that, like you said, I mean, he can't just keep running around the country talking about, I want to make a match with Canelo. I want another shot at Canelo. You know, like you said, I don't think the people really want it anymore unless he would have a couple of dramatic knockouts and they would have to be against some really formidable opponents. What's your outlook on that, Jabron?
I mean, now that he's with Jonathan Banks, now it's opening my eyes that all this time I'm thinking, you know, is Abel Sanchez as far as, you know, being the mouthpiece for Golovkin and a lot of decision making and stuff. But now it's starting to seem like it's just Triple G. It seems that now that ever since he faced Danny Jacobs, it's like his only focus is Canelo. It's like either I get this bag of money, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to get this bag of money, and I'd rather not take other chances. Basically, the risk worth the reward, because he really don't want to fight top opposition. Just look over the past couple of years at his decision-making. He fought Kell Brook. He fought Vanna Matarosyan off a 2-year layoff, coming off the couch and never fought a day in his life at 160. You know, it's just showing his real character as far as, like, the level of competition that where he want to go. This is the same guy that said he want to break Bernard Hopkins' record at middleweight. He want to be undisputed. But now his narrative has changed. Now he just wants big fight, big drama show. No, but you got to get in there with the competition to make it worth the while for the fans. Because you're on your own. You're on your own now. So you're on an app. You're trying to get subscribers. You're not going to get subscribers fighting the likes of Steve Rose. Don't nobody know who that guy is. The guy never fought out of Canada. He haven't faced different styles, you know, Europeans and you know, Asians and Africans, Puerto Rico. He haven't traveled the world to deal with different styles and different things. He just been, you know, facing the competition in Canada. So, I mean, I take my hat off to him as trying to put food on his table, you know, and being a competitor, say, hey, you know, I'll jump up on this opportunity. But we're being logical here. Like, he don't have enough experience to be in a ring with a guy like Golovkin. And on the other hand, he did land some shots on Golovkin. And that scared me, because you're thinking about the level of competition this gentleman is. Just imagine if that was Boo Boo Andre or Jamal Charlo, or even Danny Jacobs, the rematch that he don't want, or if it was Dermanchenko, the guy that he ducked, that he vacated his IBF belt for, you know. So these things will just have me questioning his character. Like, where is his heart really in it to the point where he really want to prove that he's the best, or he just saying that, but he just want the money?
Right. Your thoughts on Triple G, Ernie?
I agree 100% what he just said. As what people is failing to forget in this sport, you know, what makes this sport even greater, and what can return this sport back to its greatness of yesteryear, is the prospects and the champions that's out here now and with their fan base.
Available. At the tone, please record your message.
Go ahead.
Hello?
I was trying to get Christy. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, with the fan base of the champions that's currently on the stage right now, you know, and with the opposition that they're fighting that don't have a fan base, yes, that lowers the standards of the sport. The sport back in the day, back when Tyson was fighting, Ali was fighting, the A and B side had large fan bases. And that's what made boxing just a household event. That's when the fight parties and stuff came. You know, you don't want to pay $500 for a seat to see your favorite boxer whack out someone that's 2-30. You don't want to do that, you know. And with us fighting in Vegas, we know Vegas is a gambling town. You know, that lowers the options on the betting. No one wants to even place a bet on that fight because it's a sure shot. You know, we have to bring some, you know, unpredictabilities back into boxing, some uncertainties. We have to bring that suspense back into the sport. You know, where people laugh at ringside, they cry at ringside. You know, it's just everyone wants a big payday, but they don't want to take the risk to get that big payday. You know, it's like, it's almost like people are afraid to fail. You know, if you know, we had, what was it, Benjamin Franklin? If he was afraid to fail, we wouldn't have stuff like electricity and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know my history that well, but I'm assuming it was Ben Franklin that with the electricity and stuff like that. But nevertheless, what I'm saying is if you're afraid to fail, you'll never succeed. That's all I'm saying. You know, and we have to, us as athletes and coaches and managers and promoters and trainers and whatnot, we have to, you know, go ahead and get out there and take some risk. Take the risk. You're not ruining anyone.
Good point there, Ernie. Jabron, I mean, you know, is that why we are today, you know, seeing the fights like, you know, a Marvin Hagler against Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler against Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, the Buster Douglas against Tyson? I mean, are we going to the age of predictability in boxing? You know, we've seen some upsets. I mean, you know, we've seen Tony Harrison get his. We just seen Jay. Do you agree with Ernie saying, Jabron?
Most definitely, and believe it or not, this has been a great year of boxing, and like you said, upset. Look at this. We got J-Rock, new champ. He's coming off a loss. You know, not directly, but I'm saying his big fight, he lost. And he bounced back and gave us great boxing and wasn't afraid to lose, and now he's the champion. I know he's not afraid to lose. You know, he's shown that. He's been in there with Lions. You know,
yeah.
Now we also have Anthony Joshua. This was so great for the heavyweight division. This was so great. We needed that. We needed that upset because, you know, all this trying to dictate this A-side and they throwing their kahunas around about how many belts he got and different things of that sort. I like him personally. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't like the contradiction with his career. Like, he say one thing and then they doing something else. It's just I don't like that aspect. But speaking of Joshua, something serious I really want to touch on. The state of Anthony Joshua's health, and we have to take this in consideration. This was labeled as a knockout. So if Eddie Hearn is pushing a narrative of having a fight in November, December, and what New York Athletic State Commission don't play ever since we had the incident a couple of years ago, so he has to serve those 90 days so he can't train. All he's going to be doing is thinking about that fight, and then he has to promote the rematch. So really, how much of his skill will he be working on, and the pressure of going into this immediate rematch so soon coming off the knockout? Can I get your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. And, you know, I didn't even think about the technical things that's going to partake in the rematch preparations and stuff. Yeah, he's going to have that 90 days off. We already 6 months into this year. We only have 6 months left. So if there's going to be a rematch, it may be next year this time before they even start advertising it. So we're looking at 2021 basically before Joshua, early 2021 before Joshua is actually back at what, you know, what people will assume is at 100%.
They're pushing for the fight for this November, December.
Yeah, but mentally, like you said, mentally, he may not be ready by then.
Correct.
He may not be ready. He might, you know, if they did it properly, if everything goes properly and everyone goes according to how the rules are, and then you do your promotional spiel and you allow Anthony Joshua to train properly and get himself together, I would look at early 2021 by the time everything is done, or late 2020. But yeah, rushing it for November, you're right. He may not be ready. Mentally or physically.
I don't think physically he'll be ready to fight by November. Let alone mentally. When you have one of those type of bodies, and I can't say that, you know, this is necessarily from experience, because I'm not going to ever be built like that. But, it does take a certain amount of working out every day. It does take a certain amount of muscle memory. Looking at those shoulders, man, I mean, you know, they're going to stiffen up. You know, you got 90 days, and then you got to get back in the gym and work out. Then you got to work out a strategy. I mean, because, you know, as they say, he didn't just get caught. He got beat up. He got knocked down in the third round after he knocked Ruiz down, and then basically Ruiz manhandled him. He beat him to that body. And, like you said, Jabron, since the incidents that happened in New York and all of everything that the boxing commission had to go through. Maybe that's why they were pushing to get it over in England instead of having the rematch in New York. Have you heard anything about that aspect of it, Jabron?
Well, I watched the latest interview of Eddie Hearn, and Anthony Joshua is still here in New York. Eddie Hearn said he stayed in the house all week until Thursday. He finally came out, and I saw the video on his Instagram of him at the basketball court playing around with some kids and this guy come out of the subway station and say, "Hey, man, what's going on, Joshua? Man, you can't be getting beat up by no fat guys, man. Like, come on, man." Like, you know, so he laughed it off and joked it off. But mentally, you know, it has to be bothering him. This guy haven't hopped on the plane and went back to the UK. And me personally, I wouldn't suggest it with the head injuries, hopping on a plane so quickly. I would rest up and you know, recoup before I'll be hopping on the plane, because, you know, you can get blood clots and all types of things you hopping on the plane. So I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, I'm just concerned about his mental mind state, far as Eddie Hearn putting pressure on him to get this rematch done and get it going again so soon. And they're saying MSG or Vegas, but Anthony Joshua said he wants it in MSG.
I'm thinking also he may be in a rush too to get him back out there, is because, you know, the Zone and Anthony Joshua, they had a lot of eggs in that basket, you know, and that station alone, that was created, it was almost designed around Joshua. So, you know, he's probably talking out of a corporate voice and using corporate feelings when he, you know, is stating that he's trying to get Joshua back in there ASAP for a rematch. That sounds like corporate talk to me, stats, instead of, you know, logistics, health-wise. So maybe someone would probably come along and advise him health-wise, you know, on what Joshua needs to be doing. And right now, from a headshot like that, you know, in my personal opinion, if my fighter gets stopped from a headshot or get KO'd from a headshot, technically, I don't want him to actually compete or spar for a year. For up to 9 months, I'll put it that way. Because you can replace anything in the body, but you cannot replace that brain. You can't replace that. We can replace or repair anything in the body, but you just can't. You can't put another brain in a person and expect it to work. You just can't.
Guys, I'm going to bring up something that could have been very tragic, but we did find out today that Zab is up moving around. He's eating and whatnot. After being knocked out yesterday by Saladin. You know, like you said, speaking of head injuries and being knocked out and things, now I realize that, you know, we're not talking about, you know, the same quality of fighter, but anyway, you know, a head injury is a head injury.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, when you have gentlemen that are fighting to a somewhat advanced age, should we be a little bit, promoters especially, because this is what it's all about. Should we, you know, be a little more concerned about putting these older fighters in the ring just because they have a name? I mean, at some point, don't you think about that fighter's safety? And maybe, you know, I know you can't tell him to retire, but you can kind of send a message.
Well, you know, like, it goes back to promoters are hungry to find a fighter with some fan base so they can make some money, so they can continue to raise up other fighters, promote other fighters. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. When it's all said and done, it comes down to your fan base and the guy you fighting, his fan base. And if an old guy steps in the ring and he passed the requirements and the exams and things, and they clear him to fight, and he's got a fan base, a lot of promoters will go ahead and jump on that because they figure he knows what he's doing. Me personally, I wouldn't chance it. You know, I'm only 4 years older than Zab Judah, and, you know, you won't see me in there strapped up throwing no blows, because I know if somebody thumped me in the head, I'm falling out. I already know I can't take a punch. I can give it. If you let me hit you, I'll knock your head all smooth off. But if you just thump me, I'm gonna fall out everywhere. So he tried something, you know. He tried something because George Foreman did it back in the day. He tried something, it just didn't work out for him. But you know, I'm thankful that he didn't lose his life. I'm thankful he didn't lose his life, because I like Zab Judah. But yeah, I don't want to see him do that again. You know,
Professor, you know, when you look at this, and the reason why I picked this, you know, not just because of of Zab himself, but the venue, this was at Conestoga. This was supposedly in front of the creme de la creme. You know, we've got people that are being going into the Boxing Hall of Fame. I mean, to me, this was incredibly non-responsible when you consider the caliber of the event. What do you think?
I think looking at Zab activity, this was his first fight in over, I think, a year and a half. And I think he could have came back, but the problem was the level of competition. I think the person they put him in there with was a little bit more than he should have been coming back to. You know, he stuck in there, what, that was the 11th round, you know, he showed heart. But I think the level of competition was a little bit too much. If it would have been a little less, he would have been able to get rounds in and come out with a, you know, not an easy victory, but it would have been a nice victory to shake the rust off, to, you know, to get back in the swing of things. And then his next fight, he could have moved this level of competition up maybe more, depending on how he felt after that fight. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and a 12-round fight coming off a long layoff. I mean, wow. That was a championship fight coming off of a layoff. You know, that was a bold step. I mean, if I'm coming off a layoff and I'm up there in age, I'm going to probably try minimum a 6-rounder. I'm just not going to jump into a championship fight. That was a 12-round fight, so it was some type of belt online for that particular fight. It had to be for him.
NABA or NABF belt it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't have. Not so soon. Not like that. I'd have did maybe a 6-rounder first, you know, and maybe diddle around with a 10-rounder.
Yeah,
well, I would
like
just jump right into 12.
And like Jabron pointed out, you do have to look at the level of competition. Whereas this gentleman might not have been a champion, he does have quite a bit of ring experience. And you know, like I said, you know, sometimes I think, you know, you have to stop looking at the name of the fighter and look at where the fighter is today. You know, if it had been Zab 10 years ago, then yeah, you know, hey, let's do it. But, you know.
Right. I know anyway, I'm not the same fighter I was, you know, 20 years ago. I know I'm not that same fighter anymore.
Speaking of the same fighter, Jabron, and who the hell is Cotto?
Oh my God, not Miguel Cotto. Is he talking about fighting again?
No, not Miguel. Is it Cotto, the guy that Jamal was supposed to fight?
Oh, and the Charlo
what?
Fight.
Replacement fight for
the replacement for Harrison.
Oh, I haven't seen who the replacement is. I haven't checked that out yet.
His name is Cotta, Cota. Because the rest of the card went on, you got a couple guys going to this fight on the 23rd. Have you heard anything about this gentleman that's replacing Tony Harrison, Ernie?
No, I hadn't paid any attention to. I actually last weekend on the show, I had actually just found out that Harrison had gotten hurt, and I still don't know right now to this day where he got hurt at, because everyone just saying he got injured. I don't know where he's injured at or nothing. Have you heard anything?
Well, isn't it like the Kevin Durant injury, Javon?
I'm not sure, but I know he's supposed to went in for a procedure. I was reading an article when it first happened. So, you know, when the news first dropped, they don't give a whole bunch of details and all that. That's the last time that I had checked on the situation when the news at first came out. But as far as the update and, you know, I think the news that came out, like, on a Monday, and he supposed to have been having the procedure done, like, on a Wednesday.
Yeah. What it was, he was supposed to have torn his calf muscle, and he has to have it, I'm not sure if it's reattached or exactly how it goes, but after the procedure, he's still supposed to take somewhere between 6 and 10 months for him to rehab. So, you know.
So he's done for a year.
Basically, he should be done for a year, you know, depending on, you know, how things work out, you know, rehab and stuff like that. But it was a major injury. As far as him getting back in the ring, how it happened and all that, you know, we're not sure, or at least they haven't, you know, released that. But evidently, it was either with, you know, it must have had something to do with sparring. But you know, we can't really say. Might have just turned around like Kevin Durant, and there it was. You never know. What does this kind of do to the landscape of that division now, LeBron, you know, with Tony Harrison kind of out of the way on the shelf for the time being? What does that do as far as the big shuffle now?
Well, we got to see what's going to happen with we're going to get an immediate rematch with J-Rock and Jared Hurd, or he's going to go in a different direction. We still got some up-and-coming contenders in the weight division. What we got there? Kell Brook. Can't leave him out, you know. Matter of fact, speaking of Kell Brook, what's today? Today is Sunday. So Friday, Kell Brook won the court case versus Eddie Hearn to get out of the contract. So look to see him back in action soon. Who else? Munguia Butt. He's, of course, he's on the zone. You still have Erickson Lubin getting back in the mix of things after the devastating first round knockout to Charlo. But, you know, that was just one shot. And I think he could definitely be a champion in that division. He has skills. He has definitely a solid power. So that division is decent. It's decent. I wouldn't say it's jam-packed because, you know, people are starting to move up, because I see Hurd probably moving up by the end of this year or beginning of next year. And maybe also Charlo. And also Munguia, because they was throwing his name out there to possibly fight Triple G.
I've heard a lot of names out there, a lot of people talking smack and whatnot, but
seems like the kind of silent assassin in all this is Boo Boo. You know, Boo Boo just says, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm waiting. Y'all do what you got to do. Is Boo Boo the best in his division? What do you think, Ernie?
I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure. I'm not convinced yet. You know, maybe a couple more challenges, then you know, I render a verdict on that. But I'm just not. I'm not quite convinced yet. I'm almost, but not quite. I just want to see a little something else. I want to see just a little bit something else. Once I see that, then bam, I make my decision on that one. But like y'all said, this year has been exciting for boxing. We've had some good upsets, and it's actually helped the sport quite a bit, these upsets. Now, these guys, they got upset. Now, they can work their way on to becoming great by getting up and reclaiming what was taken from them. That's how all-time greats are made. That's how they are made in this sport. So they've been knocked down. Now they have to get back up and reclaim what they lost. Then that's when you get recognized as one of the greats in your division. So, because all of our greats have taken losses except Rocky Marciano, you know. Everybody always talk about Rocky. But, yeah, everyone has taken pretty much losses, you know, and was able to bounce back, you know, like Muhammad Ali and stuff. They were able to bounce back and reclaim what they lost, you know. So that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see fighters get some get back. That's what makes everything exciting. Yeah.
Jabron?
I got to see him in there with Canelo, man. It's going to be an interesting fight. I think Boo Boo got the tools to win. You know, I thought Danny had the heart to win. As far as the skills, yeah, he has skills, but it's just heart. And, you know, I was going with my emotions in that fight. I still think this day, man, Danny can beat Canelo if he just let them hands go. And just let them hands go. Because when he was letting them hands go, he was controlling, dictating the range and the fight. So
yeah.
I just think if he'd have just let those hands go. But I think what is the problem is that age plus the weight. Him draining himself down to 160, it started to catch up with him. So it's like, I'm not going to out-punch myself and get knocked out by exhaustion. And, like, if I'm going to get knocked out, I'm going to get knocked out by power, not by being tired in the sense of Joshua. I think Joshua was like Kovalev in there. Like, he was just exhausted.
Right.
If I'm taking the beat, and like, he's just exhausted. And I think Danny just ain't want to punch himself out. But I definitely think Boo Boo has the skills. I mean, I know a little bit about the amateur boxing, and Boo Boo beat all those guys. Boo Boo and the amateurs beat Danny. I beat Sean Porter, because people don't know Sean Porter fought at a heavier weight in the amateurs. He beat the Darrell brothers. Man, Boo Boo beat all those guys, man. I'm telling you, that guy's talented, you know. It's just that's the problem. He's so talented that people are afraid to get in the ring with him. It ain't they scared to get knocked out. They just don't want to get outboxed.
where is he from? Is he from the Florida area?
Nah, he's from Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. All right.
He's having his hometown fight next month. Well, hold on. Is it this month? The end of this month. Yeah, it's in two more weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He'll be fighting Zaleski.
He gonna fight who?
Zaleski, the gentleman that Danny Jacobs fought, the tough European guy.
Yeah. Okay.
He was undefeated until, you know, he fought Danny Jacobs and Danny beat him. But, you know, he's a tough guy. It ain't going to be a walk in the park for Boo Boo. So that's why I like he answered the question last night when they asked him, when they was trying to compare Steve Rose and Triple G to putting pressure on him to look good and try to be explosive in the fight versus Zaleski. And Boo Boo said no. Those are two different fighters. You can't compare those two fighters. Zaleski is a world top contender, whereas Steve Rose haven't even fought out his country. Like, those are two different levels. So I can't go in there and say, oh, I'm going to knock this guy out. Like, he's a real true opponent. So I'm going to go in there and show my skills and do my best of my ability and get the victory, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm going to blow this guy out. No. And he was being honest and being real. And that was the honest truth, because Zaleski is a real fighter.
Right. Right. It's some exciting bouts, you know, brewing in the sport this year. It's some exciting stuff going on in the sport this year. And they are convincing the up-and-coming fighters and the fighters that's already, you know, on top. They're convincing them to start mixing it up with each other. Go ahead. Take a chance, because somebody's got to, you know, arise from all of this as a great someone. You know, everybody can't just stand around undefeated. Someone has to take a chance to become the undisputed, to become the alpha. That's what.
Speaking of the alpha, Jabron, you kind of touched on something last week, and I haven't heard too much about it, but, you know, the rumors are starting to come down the mountain up here. You were talking something about Al, PBC, and perhaps once again him getting rid of some of his holdings, or you know, of course, you know, rumors are, but since no one really sees Al, the only thing you can do is listen to the rumors. What's happening up there in New York as far as Mr. Heyman and PBC? Well, what are the rumors that are on the line up there?
It's sounding like, you know, he's possibly going to sell PBC. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's down the line, you know, but if you notice, majority of the PBC fighters, they are pretty much almost like free agents in a sense. Yeah, they fight under the PBC banner, but you see them on different platforms. You know, you see them on Showtime. You see them on Fox. You see some on ESPN, you know, as an opponent. And they try to sit there in the mainstream. Bob, especially Bob Arum, sit there and be trying to act like, oh, Al Heyman, he don't want to do no business. But if you pay attention to boxing, Bob Arum and Al Heyman is doing business with each other all the time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bob is doing business with Eddie Hearn. He's doing business with Oscar. Like, where are they getting this crap from? Like, oh, well, Al Heyman don't want to put his fighters against nobody. Al working with everybody.
Exactly. And you're exactly correct on that, because, you know, last weekend we were on PBC. And we know that's the first thing I noticed, because, you know, one of the guys that we fought was from Golden Boy. So they are working with each other,
it's just, you know, the media is putting it out there like it's a competition against, you know, each other. What's going on is they have so much of an inventory of fighters and no one wants to fight them. You know, they having a problem. They having to unite and get one another to fight each other. And that's where our opportunity arrived from, you know, because we have a fairly large inventory too, and we're not afraid to give these guys some action. You know, so that's what's going on. Everyone is working with each other. It's just how the media is playing it out like it's some type of division. Such and such is against him, and they against them, and they against that. No, they're working together trying to get these fighters moved, trying to see who will end up with the undisputed champions. They're working together. Now, I don't know if they're working with Hearn. I didn't see no signs of that. I don't know, you know, how that's going. They may be working along with him, too. I'm not sure. But Al and the rest of them, they working together. And then Al Heyman is quiet anyway. You know, he's doing what he's going to do. He's doing what he's going to do, and he's tight-lipped about it. He's strictly about the business. So there is a plan. There's a plan. What?
They're working with Eddie also. They just signed to fight Maurice Hooker versus Ramirez.
Okay.
So that fight is
so they are so it's confirmed that they all are working with each other because we saw it firsthand.
Yeah, they all working with each other. It's just that they cash cows. They trying to protect their cash cows. They scared. They don't want their cash cows to take a L. But now after this. Yo, I forgot to bring this up. Eddie Hearn, mm-hmm. Eddie Hearn, fast car, Eddie Hearn. Now, he's shaking in his boot because Joshua lost. Check what he just did. He just said to Deontay Wilder, if you don't fight Dillian White, I'm taking you to court and the WBC to have that fight ordered because Dillian White been the number one contender for the WBC over the last year. Now he's shaking in his boots talking about going to court. He won't never talk about going to court until now Joshua done lost, and now he want to go to court because now what? He needs to get Matchroom back on the map, try to get Matchroom. But the problem is Dillian White got a tough fight coming up right now.
Right. Right. Yeah, he needs another face right now to stand in the place of Joshua until Joshua gets back. So he's gotta slide another image in front of that business. So yeah, he's gonna push forward. He's gonna push forward. So yeah.
It seems kind of, you know, I'm just thinking here. You had Triple G on last night, and now you have Dillian White. He's going to have a tough fight. Both of these guys are trained by Jonathan Banks. He also has mm-hmm. to see your break. Right now, when you look at this whole situation, you know, you got Triple G, you got Tyson Fury, you got Dillian White, you got Joshua just got knocked down, knocked out. Is Eddie, you know, you kind of spoke of it, Professor. Is this the reason why Eddie Hearn is kind of nervous or wanting these fights? I mean, you know, you look, like I said, you know, Dillian White,
Joshua. I mean, you know, if you should have a second heavyweight go down, Eddie Hearns could be the one that a little fun, or at least Matchbox.
Yeah.
Well, what, as of these last couple of weeks, it's not been looking too good. Katie Taylor got gifted a win, and all the other matchroom guys got beat up. So it's not looking good right now for these U.S. debuts and the supposed to be coming to America and taking over and invading U.S. and all this nonsense they was coming up with. It's not looking good right now for the state of matchroom. Not saying they're not going to have fights, but Eddie Hearn really think Joshua's going to lose the rematch. He said it out his mouth today in the interview. He was like, I hope he don't lose the rematch, but if he does, you know, like, come on, he already not convinced. He already know, like, this stylistically, this is a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, styles. And like I was saying on the previous show, I would just sit Anthony out so he can collect himself and get ready. And we would keep an eye on Ruiz and let someone come whack Ruiz out and then jump on the person that whacked out Ruiz. Yeah, I mean, it's just like how Joe Frazier took out Ali, and Ali just sat back and waited till Foreman took out Frazier. Then he came along and took out Foreman. So, like you say, the styles. You know, you have that one boxer out there that he just got your number any day of the week. Now, I've even had a fighter like that. I knew in my heart I could beat him. But it was just something about him I just couldn't get past. You know, it's just something about him. You know, everyone has there's a fighter out there that got your card. You just physically can't beat them. They can lose to everybody in the world, and you can beat everybody in the world, but this one specific person, he can't beat anybody but you, and you're the champion.
Yeah, that's so, like Bradley. Bradley, any day of the week, he'll have a tough time with Pacquiao. Even today, he'll have a tough time with Pacquiao. But you see how he dismantled Marquez? He boxed Marquez's head off. Are you kidding me?
Right. Exactly. The sport, that's what makes the sport so great. You know, it is just, it's unpredictable. And that's what Vegas and other, you know, places like that, the betting industry thrive off of that. You know, you get a big economy boost off of that type of stuff. Once you take the suspense out of a sport, that's it. It's doomed. It is doomed. The suspense is what America and the world is addicted to, suspense. And there is no suspense in you, a groomed world champion, and you're fighting someone that has never been heard of. You know, the person can't even get any gym credits because they can't even pinpoint what gym he's from. So, you know, yeah.
Tell the truth. After you saw Marquez put Pacquiao to sleep, you thought he might was gonna do a number on Bradley or give him a wild night, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I was scraping my little Crown Royal bag of change together and all this stuff, placing any bets that I can bet. Any little, I was trying to bet family members and everything with my little change bucket. Yeah. My little change back, yes, because the suspense was there. And then, boom, he beat the hell out of the man. But, you know, those were the exciting times.
I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about was the fighter's responsibility to the promoter. And I have to go back to your fighting game. I know. I'll just let you, tell me why this is kind of a big pet peeve of yours, and what fighters seem to think is the promoter's responsibility, in opposition to what their responsibility really is.
Right. Well, fighters, a lot of the fighters today, the ones I definitely run across, they want big money, but don't want to fight anyone to get that big money. You know, and they got to understand that if you want to get paid big money, you have to have some type of fan base. Just like the record industry, if you can't sell a CD, why would I promote you and your music if you can't sell a CD? And with the fighters, you know, the top fighters, you know, a lot of them, they can't sell tickets. And then they don't want to fight anyone that can sell tickets so the promoter can make some money to keep them moving. They don't want to do it. They want to knock out someone that's fresh off the couch and stand on a guy's neck in the middle of the ring with their fist on their hips and letting their capes flap in the air. And then once the fight is over, they want to run to you for thousands of dollars, not realizing that you just paid this guy thousands of dollars, him and his coach, to get up off the couch to fight you because you didn't want to fight this other guy. Now, y'all want these thousands of dollars, and there's only 20 people in the arena to see you fight. The math just don't end. It just don't add up. And what's happening is these promoters nowadays, a lot of them is they taking on a big old deficit, a large deficit, trying to move these fighters that believe they're better than what they really are. And it's time for a injection of reality in this sport. Now, I think these commissioners is starting to change up the rules a little bit because it's also affecting their pay grade. So what they're starting to do is they're starting to deny a lot of these ridiculous fights. You know, here's a guy that's 17-0 with 16 knockouts, and he wants to fight a guy that's 1-30 that's been KO'd 26 times. They're not approving that anymore. They're not approving it anymore. They are actually denying those fights and making you go out and find some quality fighter, someone that's going to fight you back. And if you don't want to fight someone that can fight, then you know, go sit down. This is not the sport for you. This is not the business for you. This is not welfare. You got to get in that ring and you have to earn it. You have to earn it, and you have to be hungry enough to want it. They're not paying you millions of dollars to come to the ring and dance and sing. They come in there and see you knock some teeth out.
Now, another thing that, you know, and maybe you or Jabron, you know, can kind of give the fans on what it really means. When you go to Box Rec and you see your favorite fighter and you look at his record and, you know, you see some things, you know, some of his opponents have 1 star, some of his opponents have 2 stars, some have 3, some of them don't have any.
Right.
What does that mean to a promoter, or at least as far as when it comes to, I want to say,
is it like a pay grade? You know, you get so much if you have no stars. If you got one star, you get paid a little more. I mean, how does this work?
Well, you know, it used to be that star system on BoxRec used to be effective for people that used to place bets and stuff. They used to go to BoxRec and check on, you know, the stars and things like that. But to give you a prime example, you know, the stars and things, they're not all that reliable right now. You know, here it is. You have a guy that's got five wins. He's got five wins, but you look at his opponents, and his opponents don't have any wins. Everyone that all five people that he beat, they don't have any wins. But he's got a half a star for that. Okay? Now you would go to somebody like Akeem Black's fight. You go to his record, my fighter's record. And majority of his fights was against some competition, some 50-50 fighters, or records even to his. And he only got a half a star. And then you can go to other people's records whose records are just like Akeem Black's record. And they will have a whole star. So BoxRec is becoming, you know, somewhat unreliable right now. Only thing it's good for right now is just collecting data on the fighter's license, where he's fighting, and his record. As far as status and stuff like that, to determine whether this guy can be dangerous or not, you have to actually dig in now and do your homework on the fighter. You know, I've been asking managers and coaches to check their fighters' credentials on BoxRec, check their fighter stars and things like that, and then compare them to fighters that has less records, you know, less winning records than they have. Compare it, and you'll see that there's a disparity that is off. It's not accurate. Not accurate at all. Akeem Black, hell, we went to Detroit. Our second pro fight, we went to Detroit and we fought a guy that was 12-2 at the time and went the distance, our first six rounder. And we took that fight on 2 days' notice because the promoter needed that bout to happen. It made the commissioner nervous, but he knew that we knew what we were doing. And we fought the entire six rounds. K-9 was there. That was on the James Toney undercard. And we did what we had to do. And we didn't get any credits for that particular fight. Not even a half a star.
Professor, were you aware of this BoxRec system, and you know, did you use it for any of your evaluations of fighting?
No, I never paid attention to the stars and all that. I just go and do research on the fighter, and I find film and footage, and I study it, and then, you know, I just do more homework, checking articles and different things of that sort, and then I come up with my assessment. But to touch on what Ernie was saying about the fighters with the promoters, the pet peeve thing, to the listeners, there was a dark-skinned young kid with dreadlocks, and you know, he come from a town that's, you know, not really popular, not on the map. And he wanted to become a world champion, right? But in order for him to do that, he had to get, like, the attention of promoters, right? And you got to think about a dark-skinned kid with dreadlocks. Like, that's not something that you really can promote.
Right.
You know? Who's going to invest in that? But guess what? That dark-skinned gentleman with dreads I'm talking about was able to sell out crowds at Omaha, Nebraska to the casual fans that don't remember that Terrence Crawford had dreads when he started boxing, and you would know that. So he put butts in seats in Omaha, Nebraska, and that's why he was able to get a big promoter like Bob Arum to invest in him so he could become a world champion. So that was just a little small boxing history.
Yeah, yes. He was able to, if he was a rapper, he was able to sell CDs for someone to say, yeah, I invested in you. Yeah, exactly. He was able to put butts in seats on his own. And then an investor came, a promoter came, you know, and said, hey, I'm going to invest in you. Bob Arum said, yeah, you're going to be someone. Yeah, you have to put the effort in yourself. You have to make yourself, you know, desirable. You have to show a promoter that you're worth him spending his money, you know, on you, because at the end of the day, if he's promoting you, he wants a return. He wants a return. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the fighters, a lot of the fighters that I run across don't understand that. They're so afraid that I'm going to make 10 cents on them, which, you know, everyone knows I've spent thousands. So now we're in the industry now, and we in deep shark-infested waters now, and we got to go get it, because I'm not dropping another dime on raising anyone else. And, you know, by the time I matched them up with a challenge, you know, they want to back out and things like that. The guys that I have right now that, you know, I don't have to worry about that with them, because they want to challenge. They want to get out here and see what they can do, because they want to see if they're going to be great at the sport. They want to know it now. And if they're not going to be great, they want to know if they're going to have to return to their jobs and call it a day. They want to know it now. They don't want to wait 20 years, you know, to find out that, hey, man, I gotta go to work now. Hell, shit, you're already 50 years old now. You're 40 years old now with nothing pumped into Social Security. They want to know now if they're good enough to stump with the big dogs. And that's what they're training to do. So we're headed out there.
But, Ernie, how do you promote a guy, or how do you bring a guy to a fight year after year after year, and, you know, maybe at the end of 3 years, his record is 2-10. His record after 4 years is maybe 10-20. I mean, how do you keep putting this guy in the ring? How do you keep? I mean, for both of your sakes, you know.
I'm looking at
records, but, you know, I mean, constantly losing records, and they still keep constantly getting fights.
Yeah, because they're the only ones that'll get out there and fight. They'll get up off the couch and fight. They'll get up off the couch and fight, because the small promoters.
I'm not giving you my money to come out there and watch a guy get it. I mean, now, if you come off the couch and beat him sometime, that's one thing.
That's what's going on in boxing, and that's what's breaking the promoters. The promoters like myself, you know, smaller promoters. That's what's breaking us, because no one wants to step up and challenge someone else with a decent record. The only people that will challenge you is the people that's got terrible records. That if I pay you, and they taxing too, I have to pay you $3,000 to fight my guy, and my guy beat you, but he can't get any recognition, any points off of it, because your record sucks. You're 2-30. You have no points. I can't move up in the rankings off of you. But if I want to promote a show, I have to have that bout, or I can't have a show. I have to have a certain amount of rounds to do a show in order to try to make a dollar.
So that's why they be sending these fighters to, like, Mexico and Brazil and Costa Rica to get these fights in between, like, big title fights and stuff, because they put them on those type of cards where they ain't paying a whole bunch of money like you would be paying here in the U.S. Like, you had to put it on TV and telecast, and all, you know, budget into all that stuff where it's going to be down there, not televised, you know.
Right.
And they just going to pad the record and send them back to the U.S. and, you know, put them on a card.
Yeah,
I mean.
Exactly.
And the reason why I brought that up is because I'm not that far from Tijuana. And, you know, every Friday night, Saturday night, you know, you can go and watch, you know, two or three fights in Tijuana. And guys, you know, the guys, if you win, you know, you can fight in a phone booth all night long for $50, $60. I mean, you know, consider it. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying, you know, so you didn't expend it all this energy week after week after week, and, you know, by the time you come up to the States, maybe you're 10-2, but you're 10-2 against who? Who do you own?
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you know, but you don't fight a tough fight, because if, you know, if you don't perform for them, the, you know, these bars, you got to fight your way out and back across the border. So
you sure do.
It's kind of like it was, you know, back in the old days, you know, the cigar kill room, you know, knife on the table, two guns here, you know.
Yeah.
You know, talk about it, you know, back in the
old days. Yeah, you have to fight somebody in order for you to become great or get on the pathway to greatness. You have to fight someone of equal value as far as records or more. Someone that has some points, that's the only way you can raise up on it, on that scale where you can get to the main networks. And just with us, you know, with Team Certified, you know, we've been brought onto that stage, but we still a baby company. Our fighters don't have many fights, but they know that we will get in there and fight, and our records are not bad. We have, like Julio, he just suffered his first loss. But he was happy to be on that stage competing against someone. Now he knows what he can do. And that was a courage and builder for him. Now when he gets back on television, which he's going right back on, because we've already been told that. Now when he go back on, we'll get different results now. But you don't know what you can do until you try it. And usually the first time you try something, you fail at it. You fail. And then when you go back, you do a little bit better, and then all of a sudden you become good at it, and then eventually you become a doctor at it and a master at it.
But
no one wants to take that chance.
Well, now, how difficult is it for you to take that leap when you're coming from the B side? Because everybody expects you to be, you know, that guy that's coming to get beat up. You're coming to win. You're coming to win. Well, like, one of the guys that Team Certified was fighting was like 6-0.
And we were 3-0.
Right, you know, so, I mean, so the only way that we can get recognition, or at least this is what I'm trying to assess from what you're saying, is that since we come from the B side, we have to be able to get out there, get in the pocket, and we have to get wins. It's not about going out there to be somebody's opponent. It's about going out there to what we have to do in order for us to advance.
Right. But you know what? When we went out there, we didn't get treated as B-side. The commentators was not commentating it like it was like we were B-side. And, you know, we were out there competing. We were competitors out there because we were 3-0. and the other guy was 6-0. So on paper, it did not look like we were just coming for a paycheck or anything. And we have to understand, what the fans got to understand is that, you know, Muhammad Ali was B-side before. Everyone is B-side. The challenger is always B-side until he become a champion. You have to prove that you are worthy of that light. You have to be prepared. Everyone has been the challenger before. Even Floyd Mayweather was a challenger before. That's how he became the champion. That's how he became a world champion, because he challenged the top guys. And the hardest thing to do is get the opportunity to challenge these big guys. Because if your record is shot and beat up, you're not going to get that opportunity on primetime television anymore, the way they starting to change things around now back to the way it was in the old day when boxing was at its greatest. They're returning back to those grassroots now, where your record has to look like something. Your record has to mean something. But it's promoted to pay you to fight his fighters. He's got to, even though he's paying you, you have to have something on the table that he can get. He's trying to get your points from you, and you're trying to get points from him. And you're trying to get to that championship through him. That's what this sport is about. It's about numbers at the end of the day. Numbers. And you have to compete against someone for their numbers. We battling for ranking here. We battling for numbers here. We battling for points here. If you go into BoxRec and look deep off into that, it shows how many points a fighter has. It shows how many points. The knockout ratios and all of that stuff, they not just calculating that stuff up for nothing. It's about those numbers. That's within BoxRec.
Javon, you know, every time, you know, we always look at the perspective from the A side and talk about the big fighters and you know, their numbers and whatnot. But when you listen to Ernie and you talk, you know, to, you know, a small promoter that just trying to make it, you know, into, I guess, what we would want to call the big time. How different do you find the perspective of these small promoters that are basically B-side as compared to, I guess, maybe you want to call it the arrogance of the big boys?
Nah, it's just like any job. It's like trial and error. It's like you gain experience. You know, it's not like you can go and take a class for being a promoter. Like, it's, you have to experience it. It's one of those type of jobs where you have to go through the experience to gain the knowledge and to become better from, you know, like Ernest said, your past mistakes. So, you know, I take my hat off to them, because it takes a lot of patience, because by you being a smaller promoter, you have to be a little more strategic. Whereas somebody who has a ton of money to flaunt around and just, you know, that nobody want to take a loss, but they can afford to take a loss, they're not going to be as strategic, because, you know, they might have a lot of income coming from different avenues. And so, you know, so like I said, I take my hat off to them, because, you know, it's like my mom used to say, sometimes you got to rob Peter to pay Paul, you know.
Exactly.
You get into certain situations, you know, because not necessarily your fault or you made a mistake. It's just the circumstances that came upon you, where maybe a fighter pulled out last minute, somebody sustained an injury. Who knows? You know, it's a plethora of things that could, you know, happen to cause a minor setback. So,
right.
You know, this has to be very strategic.
Yeah. You have to. You know, when you have – now, if I would have started out with $1 billion, then, yeah, I would be making a lot of mistakes, like putting all my eggs in one basket on one particular fighter. Like someone that we know now that's scrambling to replace that image with another image in order to keep the image up on his network. I'm not gonna mention his name, but we just finished talking about that. That's because he started out with $1 billion. Someone like me that can't afford to lose a dime, yeah, I have to use coupons and everything else and move cautiously. And I have to watch the numbers, the ratios. If my fighter is 5-0 and he take 2 losses back to back, guess what? I gotta go spend some money. I gotta get him at least 2 to 3 tune up fights to keep his ratio at a decent level so he can go and try to compete with the big boys again. And try to win. Try to beat one of these big guys into it and get into a big payday. That's what this is about. And a lot of guys just coming out. A lot of guys just coming out, getting racking up 30 losses right away and just like, okay, I'm ready for some big money. It don't work that way. You have to have something to offer. You know, like back in the day, they call it, you know, booty. You have to have some ass to offer. You got to have some booty to offer. And back in the day, you know, booty mean treasure. You step to that table, you got to have some coins. You have to have something that someone else needs. And they have to have something that you need in order to make a bout. Promoters are tired of making agreements with people that have nothing to offer but paying them big money. And if we win, we just walk away with nothing. We don't get any closer to fighting on television or competing with a titleist or nothing. We don't get any closer. So that money that we just spent, we just pretty much just burned it in the air. We have to pay a quality fighter to fight our fighters in order to try to beat that fighter and win. This is a climb on the ladder. And every step we take on that ladder, it burns. But, you know, just so happened, you know, the people with stuff to offer, you know, they don't want to fight. They don't want to take a chance. They'd rather fight somebody that's 2-15, which the promoter can't make any money off of it because he can't get any sales. He can't get any sales, and then when you beat the fighter, when you beat this guy that he just paid for you to fight, you don't get no closer to qualifying for a championship bout than you was a year ago. You're going nowhere fast. You're wasting time. You can look at some guys on there on BoxRec that's 10-0, only got 1 star. Because all the 10 people they fought were MMA fighters with no wins and stuff like that. Combined wins, if you combine all their wins together, it come out to maybe about 6 wins. You don't get nowhere like that. So how can you challenge for the WBC? How can you even place ranking with the WBO organization, the NABO organization, or the WBO, WBC, WBA? You cannot enter the rankings like that because you haven't earned enough points. You haven't fought any fighters that had points. That's what commentators always say. He hasn't fought any accredited fighters yet, you know, no one recognizable.
on his record. That's what they talking about.
Yeah,
they go
that was why I asked about Box Record and the different places that they go and, you know, and you look at the stars or the ratings or the rankings, however you put it. But, like you said, sometimes you have to wonder, because I was looking at some of these guys' records, and I'm like, you're funny. Like,
right.
He's got more than 10s. You ever got any, you know, maybe a guy that's got 5 wins, but he's got 25 losses. You know, so anyway.
Right.
It's interesting to talk about that, Ernie, and I'm glad we have you, because you can kind of explain how things work from the smaller promoters' point of view and what
right.
you guys have to do in order to climb up the ladder to get those NABF. So, like you say, you could be ranked. I think we're going to talk in a couple of weeks or pretty
right.
soon about the Regis Progress. And that's how he kind of climbed up the ladder. DeBron, hey, man, I know we kind of kept you a little longer than usual due to circumstances, but you got any news for us before we get off there?
Any news? Oh, the Sergio Kovalev fight has got an emergency purse bid. I don't know if those Russian investors backed out at the last minute, or maybe his opponent, the camp, might have been like, we might gonna wait to put him in there with that champion. So we have to wait and see what happens with that purse bid.
Oh, wow. They got to go back into negotiation. Oh, wow. Okay, somebody check the analytics on this fight. And they got to adjust the numbers. And got to do it. Yeah, somebody then pulled out and checked the analytics on the fight and then pulled out. And, yeah, they got to renegotiate the bid. Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, you know,
oh, geez.
It is going to be like you say, you know, the guys that are starting to fight now, you know, what's going to be happening with PBC. I think that was a top show that was on yesterday. What was that? The Sanchez fight, Professor?
Yeah.
That was top rank, right?
Yeah, it's top rank and
ESPN.
Yeah, on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But the fight's supposed to have been going to Russia. He supposedly it's supposed to have been in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to defend his title in Russia, but I don't know if you know, maybe those Russian investors backed out, or like I said, his opponent Anthony Yard camp might have been like, you know, we might be rushing them too soon, putting them in there with the champion, but they have a purse bid headed for Tuesday and
mm-hmm.
two more days.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the fight's supposed
to
have been on June 29th, so now it's looking like it's not going to happen on June 29th.
Mm. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Well.
Yeah, they just got to tweak the numbers. They got to tweak the numbers then. Because, yeah, someone pulled out. Either some investors pulled out or a fighter pulled out.
Well, you wouldn't think it was an investor. Well, you know, like you say, though, you know, it's hard to tell right now. You're not going to know. But hey, guys,
right.
It was great talking with you. Ernie, we're going to get you back, you know, either Tuesday or Sunday, but we want to find out a little bit more about the workings of a small promoter and what happens, you know, when we get to places, you know, like Las Vegas. You're out here, you was out here in California, you know,
yeah.
that means you have. That means you have to have travel expenses. That means you have to have sparring. You know, so
yeah.
so things are a little different. You know, once you have to have you know different things in place in order for you. You know, it's like they say, you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. You know what I mean? So
right.
So
we stomping with the big dogs now.
So
Ernie,
you want to give us let's start with Jabron. Jabron, you want to give us your final thoughts, and then we'll go to Ernie, and then we'll close it on out here, man. So. Hey, guys, I appreciate your time. Appreciate all your thoughts, as always. To those listeners that haven't seen it already, we do have a GoFundMe program going on. Trying to raise money, make sure that we can get around to some of the gyms out here in California, make sure that, you know, we can keep up the show, and hopefully by this time next year, I really want us to expand our audience to the UK. I'm already talking to some British podcasters. It is a matter of time difference. Right now it's about 8 hours, I believe, so I will have to kind of schedule that, or maybe we'll have to record, but anyway, we do have some goals for our show, so everyone, let's get the chance. You know, hey, you know, maybe you just give us the cost of a Starbucks. We check out, you know, our GoFundMe program. Ron,
yes,
want to give us your final thoughts, and then Ernie, and then I'll close out the show.
All right. So thanks to the listeners. Thank you, JK, as always, and thank Ernie. And just keep supporting boxing. Well, we had another good week of boxing over the weekend. And just keep your thoughts and prayers with the Judah family as he's recovering, you know, and he get back on his feet great and well. You know, he's eating, moving around. So just keep him in your thoughts and, you know, that his life will be prosperous. He got his new twins. So, like I say, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Jabron, J-A-B-R-A-N, Clement, C-L-E-M-O-N. Let them know where they can find you at, Ernie.
Okay, yeah, and Ernie, it's Ernie Haynes, H-A-I-N-E-S, on Facebook. And you can go on our website, and you can look at type in www.teamcertifiedsportpromotions.com. Team Certified Promotions with an S.com. And we'll be fighting at the Mandalay Bay, Kiwan Hill of Team Certified, and Akeem Black of Team Certified will be battling Quentin Randall and Joey Spencer. So tune in to PBC, Fox Sports 1 on your television networks. And watch our quest to try to become great or watch us fall. Either way, tune in and see, because this may be history beginning to form. So this is, yeah, once again, this is Ernie Haynes, and thanks for having me on the show, and good night.
Well, hey, Ernie, thank you so much for your knowledge. We thank you, Jabron. Once again, you can find our program. It's called We Belong on the Air. Ernie, we're kind of like you. You know, we're that small guy just keeps trying to build and punch our way forward. We want to thank you for letting be a part of Team Certified. And hey, we're trying to do our best to make sure that everyone knows we're there. If you haven't seen our latest post, it's called Wind and Fire. For you know, it kind of strikes back to some of us older generation here. So, Ernie, I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but I put you up there as Earth because you're the ground, and you know, it all starts about that fertile seed being in the ground. So, you're the Earth.
Yes. I've been trying to share that. I've been trying to share that post. You have to make where I can share it.
If you can't share it from anywhere else, you can go to the Futurist Corner and you can definitely share it from there. I try to make sure that every post that we put up is able to be shared.
Okay.
Anytime you want to share it or, you know, just let me know and I'll post it up on your page and you can share it from there. So, you know.
Please put it on my page. Okay.
All right.
I love you guys and fans and Jabari, Easy, and thanks for everything, for your input, and JK, thanks for having me on the show, and everyone have a great night.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. You have a good one.
Okay. All right, bye.